Hello, fellow nerds, and welcome to another episode of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast, Season 2, where every week we are bringing you fascinating conversations with the movers, shakers, and innovators in whole food plant-based. I'm your host, Teresa Sam Houghton, Chief Nerd at The Modern Health Nerd. And today, we're wrapping up Season 2 with Episode 10, and I'm pretty excited about this one. I've brought together Sid Nodder, Chuck Carroll, and Kathy Davis. Sid and Chuck have both been on the podcast before in Season 1, so if you haven't heard those episodes, go ahead and give them a listen. They're both great. And Kathy and I have previously connected on Clubhouse, where she was a guest on the Whole Food Plant-Based Club Tuesday Night Room that meets every week at 7 p.m. Eastern. Sid is a graduate of the T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, as well as a certified instructor for the Starch Solution and other plant-based diet courses. She was a newspaper columnist and is now the author of the award-winning book, The Plan A Diet, combining whole food plant-based nutrition with the timeless wisdom of scripture. She's been helping people transition to a plant-based diet for over 25 years and currently offers coaching through a 6-week online course. Kathy Davis is a plant-based lifestyle and mindset coach and the CEO of Veg Inspired. She's the author of 3 plant-based cookbooks and empowers high-achieving professionals to elevate their energy by adopting healthy living habits so they can show up at their optimum performance and achieve their goals. Chuck Carroll is the host of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine Exam Room podcast and is known as the weight loss champion. He has successfully lost and kept off 280 pounds for more than 10 years. Before overcoming his severe food addiction, Chuck weighed 420 pounds and had a 66-inch waist. Now, he's inspiring others as the host of the Exam Room, which has been downloaded millions of times and is actually the number one nutrition podcast in almost 80 countries. Together, they are offering tips and encouragement to help you transition to a plant-based diet, no matter what your background, age, location, or personal food preferences. And if you have a plant-based brand, there are a lot of nuggets in here that you can apply to improving your products and connecting more effectively with your audience. Before we get to the interview, the weekly podcast housekeeping. If you're enjoying this podcast, please give us a follow on your favorite podcast platform and write us a review when you have a minute. If you would like to become a supporter of this podcast, click the support link in the show notes. When the page pops up, click the support button. Or if you want to see the entire back catalog of this podcast, you can visit modernhealthnerd.com and click on the podcast link up in the top nav bar. Now, without further ado, my interview with Sid, Kathy, and Chuck. Well, Chuck and Sid and Kathy, I am so happy to have all of you on the podcast together. It's great to be doing panels this season. Last season, I only had one-on-one conversations, and I am excited to hear what all of you can share for the listeners about transitioning to a plant-based diet.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, Sam, this is Kathy. I'm super excited to be here. It's going to be a great conversation.
Definitely the highlight of my week. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, to kick it off, I would just love for each of you to share just a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what your plant-based journey is like. Kathy, would you like to go first?
Absolutely. So I transitioned to a vegan diet about 8 years ago, but 2 years ago, I really cleaned up the vegan diet to eat more whole plant food. I had noticed that I was starting to see some symptoms of prediabetes and I was overweight and I really needed to take control back. And by adding whole plant foods, I was able to lose 40 pounds. But I always tell people like the things I gained from eating whole food plant-based really are the magnitude of the lifestyle. Helping the animals and the environment. That is incredible and so amazing, but also renewed energy, joy, a sense of self, really just being able to step into who I am as a person. And I travel the country full-time in an RV and I want to hike the national parks. And 40 pounds ago, that would have not happened. So I'm just grateful that I was able to take my vegan diet and really enhance it with eating more whole, unprocessed foods.
That is fantastic. And I'm definitely going to come back to that traveling in an RV thing later, because that's going to be important when we talk about transitioning. Sid, how about you?
Yeah. So 30 years ago, I thought I was eating really healthy and I stumbled upon a class that was put on by the Wellness Forum, Dr. Pam Popper. I just happened to be there at the time and everything she said resonated with me. So I started a vegetarian diet, which looking back, I was eating a very unhealthy vegetarian diet for several years. Then I transitioned to a really unhealthy vegan diet for several years. And then about 13 years ago, I cleaned up and went to whole food, plant-based, no added oil type of eating. And my bone health has improved. My cholesterol went way down. My constant colds have stopped and I've seen health improvement. But I agree with Kathy. It's just an overall sense of well-being as a result of that, to where I became certified in several things to be able to teach this to others. So for over 25 years now, I've been teaching whole food plant-based eating.
That is fantastic. Always warms my health coach heart to hear other people are up to this. And Chuck, we've had your story before on season one of the podcast, but give us some highlights.
Yeah, I'm the newbie of the group here as far as plant-based eating, but I guess I'm like 5 years, something like that in now. But boy, you talk about cramming a lot into 5 years. I've gone from being a reporter for CBS News to now hosting one of the most downloaded nutrition podcasts in the entire world and having the opportunity to not only interview some really cool people. Obviously, Dr. Neil Barnard has been on a bunch of times and Dean Ornish, and it's more about being able to help people and to change their lives so that they can experience the same kind of transition that I was able to. At my heaviest, I was 420 pounds and I didn't think that I was going to live to see the age of 30. And what began as a weight loss journey more than a decade ago today is like an all-out crusade to clean up everybody's health. And the best way to do that that I found is to use my microphone and talk about the benefits of plant-based eating. There's no way around it. This is such a beneficial diet in every sense of the word that I just wants to shout it from the mountaintops.
And you do such a great job of that with your social media feeds and what you do with the podcast. I encourage everyone who's listening to stick around through the whole podcast, not only because you're going to get some great info on transitioning to a plant-based diet, but also because you're going to find out where you can follow everybody, hear more about this, and see how their journeys are progressing and continue to learn from them. Now, it's funny, I do want to just throw a little bit in there. Chuck, you talked about your weight loss journey. I actually had a weight gain journey. I don't share this a lot, but I'm going to start sharing it more on the podcast. I had an eating disorder 10 years ago. I used to weigh 90 pounds. And at the end of my eating disorder is when I actually transitioned to vegan and then plant-based. And I am on my way to being 120 pounds. I stopped for a while at 115, but I'm going to go all the way 120 to be healthy for my height. And I look at myself now and I look at pictures from back then and I'm like, I look like a person. And so just for anyone listening to know, it works in either direction. If you need to gain weight to be healthy, if you need to lose weight to be healthy, that would be my encouragement to everybody. And maybe my tip is no matter what kind of health thing that you need to address, plant-based is definitely the way to go. I would love to hear from each of you your top tips, maybe just three quick tips for transitioning to a plant-based diet. If somebody came to you and said, okay, I heard about this plant-based thing, I'm on board, what would you tell them the first three things that they need to know? Kathy, would you kick us off?
I would love to kick us off. So my recommendation, my top three tips are one, start with familiar plant-based foods you already like. You like potatoes, you like veggies, start with those because when we eat more of those plant foods, we can crowd out the other things. Number two, as a resistor to this way of eating early on, I was afraid to give up the burgers, the blue cheese dressing. I encourage you to just try it. So for 6 months leading up to my official pivot date to veganism, I just tried new things. I tried sauces made from cashews and squash, and I tried vegan cheeses. Now as a don't really eat processed foods, I don't eat a lot of those. And I don't always recommend them early on in the transition. That one for one is really hard. It's just not the same. And then tip number three, give yourself grace. You slip up, you buy hamburger rolls with a little bit of dairy, you eat at somebody's house because they cook. Just give yourself grace on this journey because it's not a diet. It's not a short-term thing. It is a lifestyle change, which means you need to go through the experiences, the slip-ups, the times when you don't eat aligned to your goals so that you can learn from it and grow from it. So those are my three tips.
I love that. I tell everybody it's a journey too. My favorite thing to say to people is like, I did not go from the person who ate ice cream sundaes for lunch to waking up and saying, I think I'll have a salad today. Didn't happen at all. Sid, how about you?
Yeah, my first one would be to sanitize your environment. You've got to get the bad foods out of the house by a certain date so that they're not there calling your name from the kitchen. Because if you continue to have the ice cream in the freezer, it would call my name if it was in my freezer until I went and ate it. So you've got to be kind to yourself. Get rid of the bad foods so that you don't engage in a mental battle with yourself over a package of cookies. So that's my first tip. Clean up your environment. And if you live with people that don't eat the way you do, and family pressure and peer pressure is a big stumbling block for many people when they're starting out on this journey, that calls for a frank discussion with your family and your friends to discuss these negotiables. Sometimes they feel threatened. Assure them that they will not be forced to change. Explain why you're doing this and maybe have them keep their junk food in a certain cabinet or out of your sight. All these negotiables have to be worked out. The second tip would be to be prepared. This is a big mistake for a lot of people. They're not pre-prepared with either having healthy foods on hand. So when hunger strikes and you're looking for something, sometimes you'll choose something bad or you'll go to a drive-through. So being prepared either with batch cooking or always having healthy foods on hand, that's a big one too. And the third one would tie into that being prepared, and that would be to know your trigger points, especially if you're going to be socializing with family and friends or going to holiday parties or whatever it is. Bring a crock pot full of your chili or something for you to eat. Bring a healthy dessert, but be prepared ahead of time with those things. In my book, I have 12 barriers to change, and being prepared and mentally prepared as well, not just physically prepared, but mentally prepared is a big key factor.
I totally agree. And I'd love to tack onto that idea of bringing something for you to eat. People get curious. One of my things that always made me giggle at the church I used to go to, they thought it was weird that I ate plant-based, but when I brought the plant-based stuff to the potluck, it would disappear. I brought it so they knew it was plant-based. They were lovely people, but I was the only one who was plant-based, so I was always bringing that food. It just amazed me how just sharing the food was the way to go. It really is. So you bring it, people get curious, and maybe they'll try it too and be like, hey, this isn't so bad. Chuck, what would you tell people who are going plant-based?
So I look at transitioning a little bit differently. I come at it at the approach of being a food addict and somebody who could not go a day without going to the drive-thru, particularly Taco Bell. That was my muse, and eating 10,000 calories a day. So for me, it's really about making that resolve to not reintroduce those things into your diet. So cheat days, I think, for somebody who struggled like I did, can be a very, very, very slippery slope, like Pandora's box. So when you're making that transition, explore new foods, new healthier options, eat as many different things as you possibly can, and find something that you can absolutely fall in love with. And love that food until the day you die. Like, just wrap your arms around it. Just love that food. And if that becomes your muse, well, then you've got yourself a healthy muse and there's still no turning back. You're still on this healthier path. So really eliminate all of those unhealthy things. Two, when you're going through that transition and you are becoming plant-based, if this has been a struggle for you, you need to accept the fact that not every day is going to be really easy. Some of the cravings are going to be outrageous, and you are just going to want to climb the walls, and you are going to want to pull out your hair because you just want that piece of chocolate. You want that hamburger. You want whatever the case may be. But what I have found is that if you just accept the fact that this is going to be a struggle, and you just recognize the fact that, yeah, this is not going to be pleasant, somehow that makes it a little bit easier instead of fighting it. So don't swim upstream. You just let the tide take you without going to shore and then giving into whatever your temptation would be. And number three, this is a biggie. Love your carbs. As you're finding new foods, do not be afraid to have them be carbs, which is so counter to what we have been taught as a society to be carb phobic. Don't eat the carbs. You can never lose weight. You can never get healthy. Carbs are the devil, but they're not. You just need to recognize that carbs are not created equally. The carbs that are in a wonderful, delicious sweet potato, which is so versatile and you can do so many things with, those carbs are not the same as the carbs that you would get in that, say, Krispy Kreme donut that you were having for breakfast. So embrace healthy carbs, eat them in abundance, and do not cut them out of your life. Instead, make them your best friend.
Thank you for bringing up the carbohydrate thing. You're right. It's so misunderstood. And I got to tell you, I love my carbs. You know how people say, well, what would you eat if you were vegan and stuck on a desert island? And I'm just like, well, just keep shipping me apples from my favorite apple guy, and I'd just be
completely happy the whole time. If it was possible to subsist on like just apples and sweet potatoes and stuff, that'd be my jam. I agree 100% on the healthy carbs. And if you've never put peanut butter on a sweet potato, do it. So
good. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
All right, I know what's for dinner.
So those are tips for going plant-based. This is one, I think I'll actually chime in on this one first. Things we wish we knew before we went plant-based. Now, I've been plant-based for 12 years, and the first thing I thought of when I went plant-based was I was going to just go all on vegan. Here I am swimming upstream in a bunch of soy hot dogs and plastic cheese and tofu and things, and I thought I just can't do it. I'll do vegetarian. So I'll share really quick three things that I wish I knew before I went plant-based. One, I do wish I knew that it was a lot easier than I thought it was, that I didn't need all those analogs, that I didn't even need tofu if I didn't want to eat it, that I could have eaten just beans and rice and all of those other wonderful carbs that Chuck was talking about. It is so much easier than people make it out to be. And now if you're somebody who wants the transition foods, you can go to Walmart and buy vegan transition foods now. The second thing would be you don't have to be absolutely perfect. That floats around so much in the plant-based space. I wish that myth would just die. As Kathy was saying, if you go out and you buy something and you think it's vegan and it's not, don't spend the next 6 days going, I'm a terrible vegan, I fail, I can't. Just don't. Accept it, move on. If you don't want to eat it, donate it to a food pantry or something where someone's going to get something out of it. The third thing would be, don't try to walk around being that vegan. I was that vegan who would talk about factory farming while people were trying to eat. Don't do that. Just bring the good food, share the good food, and then if they want to ask you about why you're plant-based or vegan or whatever, wait until they're not eating anymore and talk to them. So those would be my three things I really wish I knew. I probably could have annoyed a lot fewer people if I'd known that last one. So Kathy, three things you wish you knew before you went plant-based, especially in light of the fact that you're living in an RV.
One of the big things that I wished I'd known before going plant-based was how delicious it really could be, because I was so afraid. Like I said before, I was super resistant. My husband brought up the idea of going plant-based vegan, and I was like, I just was afraid I would lose the flavor and the enjoyment that I had of food. I was so wrong. And looking back, I wish that I had known how flavorful the foods could be without all of the animal products and the oils and all the extra salts and all the extra refined sugar. I also wish that I had known that I didn't have to eat all the weird vegan stuff to be a good vegan. I always tell people, like, I'm an ethical vegan, but I eat whole food plant-based for my own health because I know that that's what makes me feel the best. And I wish that I had known way back when I started that I could simply just make burgers out of beans and veggies and rice, or make cheeses out of cashews and butternut squash. And if I had known earlier, I probably would have gone vegan earlier. And then the last thing that I wish that I had known, and I didn't have to eat beans, but eventually I would fall in love with beans. Because when I first went plant-based, I didn't like chickpeas or black beans or kidney beans. I would pick them out of chili. I was that person. And now they're one of my favorite staples. I eat them at least two or three times a day. So I just encourage you, don't worry so much about what you don't know. Just step into it and try it. That's the best I can say.
That's a real commitment to pick beans out of chili. I got to jump in here and just say that is mind blowing. That is a commitment to the bit right there.
I just couldn't stand the texture. I would have a plate next to my bowl and I would just pick them out. And it was ridiculous. I was that girl.
That's a great testimony too of how fast our taste buds can change. The more you eat something, the more you crave it.
Exactly. I love it.
I'm over here being embarrassed because I was the kid who picked the marshmallows out of the Lucky Charms and ate the marshmallows. We're not talking about beans even. Oh, and you mentioned something about vegan cheese with butternut squash. Is that something that you have a recipe for, or that you've written a recipe for that we could talk about later?
We can. Yeah, I have a butternut squash queso that you mix with salsa to give it that like Mexican inspiration.
Man, I had a snack before we started recording. Now I'm hungry. I think before I get any hungrier, Sid, let's move on to you. What three things you wish you knew before you went plant-based?
Well, I've had such a long transition period, a 30-year one, actually. But I wish I'd have known that, yes, you can't cook without oils. I grew up in an Italian home. And so my whole life was you get the skillet out and then you get the olive oil out and coat the whole pan with oil. So when I first started learning that cook without oils, I thought that was going to be terrible. But no, it's not. It was it's quite easy. You don't miss the oils, and it's really quite easy to do. Sauteing, roasting, baking, all of that is quite easy to do, and I didn't realize that. The second thing I would say was, not all processed foods are good for you. When you first go this way, you're just buying processed foods. No clue about the label. What's in this food? No clue about reading the ingredient list. And then once I got turned on to that, what are you eating in that can, that jar? And then I developed a whole label reading class around that, because what are we ingesting? You just can't believe the outside of the box. That's what I wish I had known at the start. Do not believe the words on the cover of the box. The third thing would be, you don't need hundreds of recipes all at once. Many of my clients are overwhelmed when they decide they're going to do this. I'm like, just find 6 or 8 recipes at first. That's all you need to get started that you like, and rotate them. But you don't need to be overwhelmed with hundreds of recipes. Keep it simple. Keep it easy. Plus, think about the things that you're already eating that are vegan, like whole wheat pasta, maybe with marinara and roasted veggies on top, or stir fries or something where you could omit the meat. It can be overwhelming to people. So try to keep it simple and try not to be overwhelmed.
And if you are the type of person who likes to have hundreds of recipes, there are so many cookbooks out there now all across the spectrum, no matter what food you like.
Well, maybe I should clarify, I'm not suggesting that you just find 6 or 8, because you're going to have hundreds by the time you incorporate this into your life. But just start with 6 or 8 if you're feeling overwhelmed.
Most definitely. Chuck, 3 things you wish you knew before you went plant-based.
I think first and foremost was that the stigma that surrounds the vegan diet for a lot of people is absolutely false. It is not some sort of hippie cult. You're not going to be burning sage and incense every night because you cut meat and dairy out of your diet. It's not about that. It's about taking charge of your health, and you can absolutely be exactly who it is that you are today, personality-wise. You're just going to be a healthier version of that. If you're not into tie-dye, then you don't buy a tie-dye t-shirt. Like, it's really simple. Number 2 is that it is a lot easier than you think it's going to be to make these changes in your diet. We talked about food addiction and cutting things out. And yeah, there are going to be ups and downs, but by and large, I do not miss meat whatsoever. I do not miss dairy, because there are so many even healthy substitutes. You don't even have to get into the processed vegan food to find healthy substitutes for meat and dairy. You can do some phenomenal cheeses out of cashews and almonds. And it's just mind-blowing how creative and how much fun it can actually be to eat this way. But number 3 is actually the big one. For me, this is what, above anything else, I wish that I knew. This is the one. This is the change that you will make in your life that will eliminate all other yo-yo diets. This is the change that you have been looking for. This is the solution that you have been looking for, because this is not a short-term thing. This is sustainable. This is health. This is delicious. I'm telling you, I'm not selling anything. I'm not being paid to say this. It's just so good. And my life has improved in so many ways. And I, for the first time since I went plant-based, never, ever, ever have feared putting weight back on. I don't have to worry about losing my health again, because I'm eating this way and I love eating this way. And I'm so confident that I'm never going back. I have no desire to go back.
As someone who did yo-yo diet and who over-exercised and under-exercised and tried every diet on the planet and probably a lot of diet products that I shouldn't have tried, I have to wholeheartedly concur, because for me, it's been the same. It's like, I'm not afraid the way I used to be. I used to binge eat, so I'm like not afraid of that. I feel like I can have, well, I can have my kale and eat it too and not be worried about it. This is great. This is why I like doing panels. We all have such different perspectives. It's great to hear where you're all coming from, and I'm sure it's all going to resonate with many different people out there. And it's just so great to be able to share all of this. Now, we've talked about the tips and the things you wish you knew. Here's one that I think we've all had, and I know even just from co-moderating the room on Clubhouse that I co-mod every Tuesday, struggles. Everybody's got them, whether you're beginning your journey or you're really far along with it. What is your, or has been, your number 1 struggle with plant-based diet, and how did you overcome it, or how are you overcoming it? Kathy, could you kick us off?
I would have to say that my biggest struggle early on was really thinking I had to do it the way everybody else was. I'm in a lot of Facebooks. I'm in a lot of places. I'm on Instagram. Like, I'm in the vegan and plant-based space. And it's, I'm going to Whole Foods. What do I need to buy? I'm going to Trader Joe's. What do I need to buy? And the biggest struggle was that I needed to go to those places. That was the only way I would be a really good vegan or really good plant-based eater. And honestly, this was still a couple of years ago. We've been traveling in the RV for 3 years. And up until about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when we stopped being so close to Whole Foods, did we actually realize we didn't have to go to Whole Foods to be good vegans? We could get brown rice at Publix, Wegmans, Tops, Giant Eagle, Harris Teeter. I didn't have to go to a fancy grocery store to get foods that are naturally vegan. I could buy groceries, I could buy fruits, I could buy vegetables. And I think that that's one of the things I'll hear people say, I don't know if I could go vegan. I don't live near a Trader Joe's. And I'm like, I'm almost in shock, because in the beginning I was like, oh my gosh, we have to go to Whole Foods to get the right vegan foods to be the right kind of vegan. And now I'm like, where's the closest grocery store? We need some beans. Where's the closest grocery store? We need some spinach. And we were parked outside of Bryce Canyon National Park, and the grocery store was tiny, and we were able to get all the foods we needed for 2 weeks worth of groceries. We didn't have to worry. Even the tofu options were limited. They only had extra firm. And when you start to think about the struggle, you don't have to be somebody else's version of vegan. And that kind of piggybacks on what Chuck says, is you can still be yourself and just make whole food, clean, plant-based choices day in and day out that you can get anywhere. And that was a big struggle. I really thought I had to be a certain kind of vegan. And I hope that just inspires people to take action to eat more plants.
The thing that blew my mind was when I discovered you can buy dry beans and rice at the dollar store. And I can't remember, Kathy, if it was you or if it was someone else in the room that you were in. Kathy joined us for a clubhouse room one evening. Somebody mentioned, did you can get spices at Home Goods? And I was like, what?
You know, it's I don't know if that was me, but I remember talking about easy places to get spices. I think even somebody said like Aldi, and even Aldi sometimes carries organic spices. It doesn't have to be so fancy. You don't have to get to a specific place to buy the certain foods. That was really a big struggle that I overcame, because I realized I didn't have to be somebody else's version of vegan. I could be my own.
I think that's inspiring. Sid, for you, you just mentioned that it's been the long game for you. What was your number one struggle? How'd you overcome it?
I'm an emotional eater. So when I'm stressed out or I'm bored or I've got to do something that I don't want to do, I want to delay addressing some problem. My head's in the refrigerator because that's where I go when I'm looking for comfort and soothing. I've had to figure out how to deal with that, how to cope with that, and how to find alternate coping methods so that I'm not turning to food when I'm stressed out. I ask myself, am I hungry? And a lot of it is mental, right? So I have to talk to myself a lot during this process and remind myself that, yeah, this pack of things, whatever's in the fridge, is not going to control me. I'm not going to let that control me. Yes, I'm emotional right now. I'm going to sit down for 5 minutes and let that emotion be front and center. I'm not going to try to suppress it with food. And that has worked wonders for me. Or another thing I'll do is have a handful of grapes. Okay, so have something healthy. It's low calorie density. It's fruit. It's good. You have something like that. Have a cup of tea. Go do a crossword puzzle on your iPad. All these alternate things you can do. So that was one thing that I did not even realize I was doing for many years, was turning to food when I'm emotional. But I'm well aware of it now, and I know what triggers me, and I've had to prepare ahead for those situations.
Yeah, and I like how you've touched a couple of times on really being mindful and thoughtful about the whole process of choosing food and even eating. I used to do similar things where I would get upset and I'd just be like, okay, where did I put the M&Ms? And it took me a little while to realize, well, yeah, this is definitely a thing for me. And so now I'm the kind of person where I'm like, okay, these are the times that I eat and this is the kind of stuff that I eat. And that works for me. It doesn't work for everybody, but I found that it's good for me to have a method to what could otherwise be madness. Chuck, how about you?
A common theme that we've been having here is just to make sure that you're prepared. And that's one of the things that I help people with a lot. And I struggled with at first was, I'm hungry. I don't have food on me. Like, what do I do now? Because your options, in a lot of cases for me, when I was a reporter for CBS, I wasn't in an office. I was in a car the whole time, bouncing from scene to scene. So it was fast food here, fast food there, Starbucks if I was lucky, or vending machines. And that didn't leave a whole lot of healthy options. Initially, I gravitated toward Lara bars and things like that just to have on hand. But then it's also, I think what we haven't said yet is, yeah, bring the food, but it can be so awkward at first if you are that person who is carrying around a cooler that has food. Like, what's up with that weird person? Like, you just have to get comfortable with it and gain confidence in yourself. And you wonder, well, do I really want to do this? I feel like I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. Look at the state of health by and large and where we are. And you're taking steps to address that. So would you rather perpetuate that cycle of unhealthy living, or would you rather carry a cooler with you and be healthy? Like, for me, what I realized was I'll carry the cooler all day, every day. And that does, one, you get comfortable, but then people are going to ask questions and it opens the door for you to explain things to them. And you may not change their mind right then and there, but I guarantee that you're going to say something that's going to stick with them and spark a conversation perhaps for in the future, or even a Google search for them later on that evening or in a couple of days when they start to question their own health. So just be confident in the steps that you're taking. You're learning something new. It's going to seem awkward on a number of fronts at first, but just be confident in what it is that you're doing and you're going to be just fine.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who brings the food everywhere. What baffles me is I'll be walking around, so, well, pre-pandemic when you could walk around everywhere and eat food out in public all the time. I would be walking around eating like a salad or a snack that had veggies and stuff in it. People look at you weird, but they don't look at the person weird who's walking around eating the chocolate covered waffle, because that's apparently normal. And I actually recently went and stayed over at a bed and breakfast for just an overnight, and I had to bring my food with me because of the way I eat and I also have food sensitivities, and literally half the fridge was mine. I'm like, this is a little awkward, but you know, like Chuck said, it's a small price to pay to feel a little awkward if you know that you're going to have much better health and you're going to have a lot more healthy years.
Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah. I actually encourage people, be the weirdo, be the nonconformist, right? Don't conform to the culture. Be the weirdo. I love being the weirdo. Yeah,
hey, I'm the modern health nerd. So
you see, but here's the thing, like to get a little bit deeper on it, like then it goes beyond health, right? So you gain the confidence here and your confidence in other areas of your life is going to increase, whether it's your personal life with relationships, whether it's careers. This thing has taken me from covering the NFL to news and now doing the most mind-blowing podcast, no offense, of all time in the exam room and getting the opportunity to tell these incredible stories. And it all started just by changing the way that I was eating and gaining that confidence. It gives you the opportunity to go back and ask yourself again the question that you did as a child. And that was, what do I want to be when I grow up? And that's one of the coolest things about this entire journey is really that surge of confidence and just enjoying the heck out of version 2.0 for life.
I love it. Plant-based life 2.0. All right. We are getting a little bit closer to the wrap up here. So I would love for each of you to share the number one piece of advice you would give somebody who's considering transitioning to plant-based. I know we talked about tips before, but I'm thinking here more life advice, almost like mentor advice. So I come to you, I'm like, okay, I hear you on all of this. I'm sick of my health falling apart and I want to be the amazing weird nonconformist. What advice would you give me as I go out on my gigantic Lord of the Rings plant-based journey? Kathy.
We've gone full circle on the real benefits, the tips, all of that. But when you dig into why do you want to eat this way? What outcome are you looking for? That's going to be your driving force. For me, initially, it was weight loss, but everything else that I gained, Chuck said it, confidence, being a nonconformist, like really stepping into your passion behind what drives this. That's my advice. You're either moderately interested or you're making a decision. And my advice is to make the decision. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to eat more kale, more veggies, more potatoes. Really, the research points to the fact that this is the most optimum diet for health and longevity. So step into it. Give it a try. Try it for 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 30 days, whatever it is. What's the worst that could happen if you gave it a try? So that's my advice. Just do it.
Oh, noes. I might have to make friends with kale. I've made friends with all kinds of kale, but that's beside the point. How about you, Sid?
Yeah, I agree with Kathy. Your big whys are really important. And it's got to be big motivators to it. Can't be just to lose weight for the reunion or you're not going to stick to it. I also encourage people to examine any limiting beliefs they may have developed, which sabotages people's efforts right at the start. If they're thinking internally, I'm too old to do this, this isn't going to work. Examine those beliefs and deal with them. 80% of this is mental, I've been told, and I agree. 20% is skill and 80% of it is mentality. And then don't use the words, I can't eat that ice cream. Say, I don't eat that ice cream. Saying I don't empowers you more psychologically than saying I can't, which limits you. So that works for me. I don't eat Twizzlers anymore. I used to stand in the store and debate with myself over a package of Twizzlers because they're vegan and I loved them, but are they healthy? No, not really. And then I would just like to say life is short and please don't spend the last 10, 15, 20 years of your life dealing with chronic preventable health issues that will consume your life. I see this going on right now in my family and friends. Their whole lives center around their health problems. And it's just so sad. It does not have to be that way for you.
So it sounds like when you cross out those limiting beliefs, you gain health and healthy years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Figure out what's sabotaging you if you've tried things before and you keep failing. But we know current diets don't work, right? Typical diets have about a 3% success rate. They just do not work. So this lifestyle is what we need to embrace if we're going to reverse our chronic conditions, get to normal weight, and actually enjoy the short life that we have.
Yeah. Wow. 3%. That's sad, especially since the diet industry is like multi-billion-dollar a year industry. That's a really, really bad ROI for the people who invest in diet stuff, but it's a really, really good one for the diet industry. Wonder who loaded that equation.
Yeah. Billions of dollars are spent right on repeat customers.
Phew. Mm-hmm. I'm a marketer, and that's not the kind of customer retention I would ever advise anybody to go for. Okay, Chuck, number one piece of advice for somebody who's ready to dive in.
Yeah, let me just echo that. What began for so many people as a weight loss journey blossoms into so much more. I'll name some chronic conditions: heart disease, diabetes, cancer, Alzheimer's. All right, so there are four big ones. And I think that there's virtually nobody listening right now who has not been touched by any one of those four in their family or known somebody close to them who has been affected by those diseases. And that does not have to be you. You do not have to be a statistic. What begins as a weight loss journey, perhaps just for vanity reasons, and this blanket statement of I want to be healthy, you can get so much more specific just because your grandfather had heart disease. My grandfather died from a series of heart attacks before I was even born. My other grandfather had heart attacks, cancer took him out. My own father, he's had a series of heart issues. Alzheimer's runs rampant in my family. Cancer, rampant in my family. And I have had the opportunity speaking with people like you all today and all of the doctors who are on the program. And I'm blessed to know that you can reduce your risk of all of those conditions so dramatically. And if you want a specific statistic, just think about this. We were just talking about how life is so precious, how short it is. Well, what people fail to realize is that genetics only account for 20% of your longevity. The other 80% is under your control. And one of the biggest factors in that is what you eat, perhaps the biggest factor. So if genetics only account for 20% and you've got 80% power, what are you going to do with that power? If it's me, I'm taking that 80%. I'm pushing it all into the middle of the table. And I am, man. I'm going all in on this. And I'm just going to enjoy the ride and be confident with all of the decisions that I'm making.
I love that you share that statistic because it also shows people you are not doomed by your genetics. So many people feel trapped by their genetics. Do I have some health issues that I am more prone to? Sure. Do I have to be more mindful of those? Sure. But choosing a plant-based diet, I'm already like way out ahead of the standard westernized diet in terms of, like you said, having the control and the ammunition to be taking care of health. Well, we are at the end here of our panel, and I just wanted to thank you again, Kathy, Sid, and Chuck. Can you please let the listeners know what you have contributed to the plant-based space, where they can find it, and how they can connect with you, Kathy?
First of all, thank you so much for having me here today. It was great being part of this. I love these conversations, and we could probably talk all day about ways to make this a part of your life. So I am a 3-time plant-based cookbook author and also the founder and head coach in the Eat More Plants Academy. So you can definitely check me out on Instagram at VegInspired or at Eat More Plants Academy. I'd love to connect with you. Send me a message. Let me know you heard about it on the podcast. Happy to send over free resources, maybe a free meal plan. You can find all my cookbooks Amazon or on veginspired.com. So I'd love to connect with everybody and thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. How about you, Sid?
Yeah, thanks, Sam, for having me on today as well. It's been my pleasure. I love talking with people about this. And I am the founder and author of The Plan A Diet, which is an award-winning book, can be found on Amazon or on my website, sidnotter.com. I've also got a free training class on there, 3 food mistakes you're making, which lead to extra weight and health problems the doctors aren't solving. That's free for anybody to watch. I've got an inflammation class, and I've got a transition course for people that might want to transition to this way of eating. It's a 6-week course where I partner with people to help them switch over from the Western diet to this way of eating.
Fantastic. And Chuck, we already talked about this a little bit. One is definitely everybody, if you have not checked out the Exam Room podcast, you definitely should. Where else can they find you, Chuck?
That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever shows are available. Look for the Exam Room by the Physicians Committee. But beyond that, on Twitter and Instagram, at Chuck Carroll WLC, please hit me up, because one of the highlights of my life is just trading DMs with listeners and messages back and forth of, even if it's just recipes, or if you're having a rough day and you're struggling and you're a food addict yourself and you feel like you're at your wit's end and don't know what else to do. I love to talk to you and try to give you as much advice as I possibly can to help you out, because that's what this is really all about, is helping people. And that is just the joy of my life. So at Chuck Carroll WLC, Twitter and Instagram, that's where you find me.
And Chuck has a really fun Twitter feed. Thank you again, everyone. I have had so much fun talking with you about this and really appreciate you taking the time to share all of your insights and tips.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Again, big thanks to Sid, Kathy, and Chuck for joining me for the final episode of this season of the Modern Health Nerd Podcast. Season 2 has been all about whole food plant-based, and it has been amazing to get insights from industry leaders as well as people who are helping others to transition to plant-based diets. Speaking of, I don't want to neglect to share those insights that will help you if you are trying to get more people to adopt plant-based diets through your products. The insights that Sid, Kathy, and Chuck shared in this episode give you a window into what your customers are looking for when choosing plant-based products or transitioning to completely plant-based diets. It also gives you an idea of what information they're getting when they turn to others for advice. So I have 5 quick tips for you. 1, be mindful that a lot of people are still confused about what being plant-based actually means. Try not to use any marketing messages that perpetuate the idea that using one-to-one analogs are necessary or the only way you can go plant-based. Instead, consider positioning your products as enjoyable enhancements to plant-based diets instead of daily essentials. 2, instead of focusing solely on what your customers want from a product, look for the outcomes they're hoping for from going plant-based. Engage with them through messaging that touches on these personal motivations to help them not only try your products, but actually adopt the lifestyle for the long term. 3, and this was a prevailing theme that's quite important, people need to know that going plant-based isn't hard. Think about how your product can help make the transition easier for them and communicate that in your messaging. Maybe you offer a quick and healthy option that people can grab when they don't have time to cook, or you're giving them an ingredient that makes adapting their favorite meat-based recipes easier. Aim to come alongside your customers as a guide on their plant-based journey with messaging that conveys this. 4, plant-based eaters who are making the switch for health are going to read labels and hold you accountable for ingredients. If they find something that they don't think is in line with their personal dietary goals, they're going to put the product back on the shelf and look for something else. So know what they're looking for and either avoid it in your formulation if you can, or use educational content to communicate what role the ingredients play in your products. This can help avoid confusion over ingredients that have been shrouded in mystery, or people consistently have confusion about thinking that they're not natural or unhealthy when in fact they're perfectly fine. And the last one touches on another prevailing theme in this episode, simplicity and preparedness. I really see an opportunity here for brands to simplify plant-based food prep for people who want to make more foods from scratch, but either don't have the time or the resources to do it as often as they'd like. I see a space in the market for kits or starters for popular plant-based recipes like burgers or cheeses or energy balls or things that people make in batches like soups and stews. It can really reduce barriers to adoption by giving people a starting point and, to Chuck's point, more confidence in the choices that they make and more confidence in the kitchen so that they can keep making those plant-based choices day by day. So that's the wrap-up if you've got a plant-based brand. If you have any other thoughts or ideas or questions about the information in this episode, feel free to drop me an email, Sam, S-A-M, at modernhealthnerd.com. Before I wrap up this episode, I do want to thank you for listening to season 2, or if you just jumped in on this episode, I encourage you to go back and listen to the 9 other episodes. Very good insights, a lot of fun people who have joined me on the podcast this season. Now, as for season 3, I was planning to drop it in June, but honestly, with the amount of time it takes to put out a podcast and some other things that have been going on, I am going to need to take a little bit of a breather, probably until the fall. So there's a lot of back episodes for you to catch up on. This is actually the 55th episode of the podcast. All throughout season 1, I interviewed people from across the plant-based space, some people in vertical farming, people who are in whole food plant-based on that season as well, even Michael Moss, author of Hooked and Salt, Sugar, Fat. Really enjoyed bringing all of this to you and am looking forward to making things a little more brand-centric as these seasons go on. So, until season 3, stay nerdy!